Hello, this is Candy Christensen, and welcome to Meandering Design. First, I have to apologize. I didn't mean to be gone for a week. The plan was to do 6 episodes in a row and take a break. The reason I was absent is because I got a little overwhelmed. I had someone come and do a photo shoot for an article, which will be published online next month, and I'll definitely share that. Best way to keep track of me is to either sign up for my newsletter, which you can find at meanderingdesign.com, or to follow me on Instagram, which is also at meanderingdesign. So for the last month, I've been busy getting the house ready. I did so many things. I painted the fireplace, I hung wallpaper, I sewed curtains, I hung curtains, I hung a lamp. And then on top of that, I needed to clean the house, and my windows were absolutely horrible, so I washed the windows, and it was a lot. That on top of trying to keep up with life and also client work. So sometimes, honestly, the podcast is just, I really love it, I love doing it, but it's going to be the thing that has to wait. So I'm back, and I am talking today about urban gardening, and talking mainly about indoor houseplants. So I am really excited because plants have become trendy. Like, if anything's going to become trendy, thank God it's plants. And it's really kind of funny because a lot of the plants that my mom had when I was a kid are ones that are popular again. We definitely had spider plants. I also remember we had a big chunk of lava for some reason when I was a kid, and my mom was drilling holes in it and putting little succulents in it and living outside. So plants, what goes around comes around, and thank God plants are back in style. So I wanted to talk about how to start your own indoor garden. And I also going to add, plants, they bring some life into a space. They're also, I'm freely going to admit, they're really great styling items. So if you want to add those finishing touches in your place, definitely get a plant. Plus, it's so good to be surrounded by nature. It's nice to have things that are green, and it's also good to have something to take care of. On top of that, you know, they're good for the environment. They help clean air. So all around, plants, they are a good thing. But I want to talk a little bit about how do you pick plants and how do you incorporate them into your home. So the first thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to quote Polonius and Hamlet here, is to thine own self be true. And the reason I'm starting here is because if you are a low maintenance type of person, then definitely make sure you pick low maintenance type of plants. There are some plants out there, especially like Boston ferns, a fiddly fig. These plants that are great, they look lovely, but they're going to take a lot of work. So if you are the type of person that doesn't want to put a lot of time and effort into a plant, please don't pick a plant that you're not going to have time to take care of. Then the other thing I would suggest is that you go to your local nursery. There's a lot of times where I've been wanting a plant, or I want something, and I'm having difficulties figuring out what will work best. So, for example, in my kitchen, it is an east-facing window that is completely and utterly blocked by the upstairs neighbor's back porch. So it gets very little light. And so I went to my local nursery, and I said, you know, here's the situation. It gets a little bit of light filtered in, but definitely not much light, and I wanted a hanging plant. And so the guy at the nursery was pretty funny. He's like, I know it's not very sexy, but I would suggest a philodendron. And so now I have a philodendron hanging out in my kitchen, and I'm just waiting for him to grow a little bit and get some leaves going down the side, and I can't wait to hang it in the kitchen. So go to your nursery and explain to them, you know, what window it faces, what type of light it gets, if it's blocked by anything, if you prefer something low maintenance, And they can definitely talk you through and guide you to something that's going to work. Especially if you're not sure where to start, I really recommend going to the nursery. Support your local nursery. They're great people. The other thing I want to mention is that while plants are trending, and that's awesome, trendy plants may not work in your home. So, for example, you'll see in a lot of design blogs and, you know, magazines, a plant called the fiddleleaf fig. And it's this great, it's got a long, tall plant and these big, beautiful leaves. But guess what? If you live in the Midwest, chances are it's just not going to grow very well because you don't have the right kind of light for it. So that type of plant is really needy. It needs certain types of light. It needs certain types of care. If you want to try it, go for it, but recognize that in some cases, what is trendy may not work in your home. I do recommend it, and I tell everybody about this plant. It's, for short, they call it the ZZ plant, and I'm going to totally butcher this, but it's the Zamulculus zamifolia, which you can see why that's why we call it the ZZ plant. This plant is super awesome. It looks really cool. It grows nicely, it can exist in low light, and it doesn't care if you forget to water it. In fact, it kind of prefers to dry out in between waterings. So I have one of those in my house, and I absolutely love it. Anywhere I put it, it grows, it's happy, and it looks kind of kick-ass. The other thing I want to mention is succulents. So it may just be me. I tend to think I have a green thumb. I have killed so many succulents, guys. I bring them home. I plant them. I put them in the window. I give them light. I give them a little bit of water, and then I try a little bit more water, and then I try a little less water, and I try more light, but they just don't like it in my house. I've got one that's thriving, and that's about it. So you can go ahead and try succulents, but keep in mind that A, those cute little things that are low and kind of flat and look really cute and Instagram worthy, they grow. And sometimes when they grow, they start to look funky. So just keep in mind, they don't stay small. And sometimes they're just, it depends on the environment. My house might be too, I don't know, hot, too cold. God only knows. They don't like my house. They just don't like me. So I killed them and I apologize. There's about three that are sort of hanging on, today. A different plant that might work is a pencil cactus. It's actually relatively cool looking and it doesn't require as much care. So when you go to the nursery, or even if you take to the Google, tell them what kind of plant you're interested in and let them steer you to something that's going to work in your environment. The next thing when you get a plant is to make sure you plant it in the right type of soil. So there are certain plants that are going to want their soil to be sandier because they're going to want the water to filter down and out and not be trapped in the roots. And that would be something like succulents or cacti. And there's certain plants that are going to want to like keep the water, keep moist, you know, keep it in the roots. And they're going to want regular dirt and possibly even some fertilizer. So when you do get a pot, make sure that it doesn't just fit the size for the plant, but that it's also going to hold the right type of soil. For plants that require a drier environment, like succulents or cacti, I tend to put rocks at the bottom and then the sandy soil mix. So that means, because I have a lot of pots that look pretty, but they don't have good drainage. So that means that the water doesn't accumulate in the roots, it falls through into the rocks below. So check with your local nursery, check with Google, see what it says. The part for me that makes having plants fun, not just because they're beautiful and I love how they look, but it's also the ritual of caring for them. So every Sunday night, I gather up my watering supplies and I go around and give everybody a drink of water. Some plants I'll go back and give them, a second sip. It kind of depends on which plant, not all the plants. The other thing I do is I make sure that I touch the soil before I start watering, because you can definitely overwater plants. So touch the soil, make sure it's dry to the touch, and even just kind of, you know, dig in just a smidge and make sure that it's not too wet before you go and give it more water, because like I said, you can definitely overwater plants. In fact, my ZZ plant had some leaves turning yellow, and after being healthy for, you know, a few years, I realized something was wrong. So I turned to Google and realized that I was actually overwatering it. So I completely eased up on watering it, let it dry out. I actually lost a stalk of the plant because it got too waterlogged. Let it completely dry out, and as I started watering it again, I gave it a little less water until I was kind of back to a normal schedule. But I can tell you that I definitely for sure check that soil before I water, because I don't want to overwater the poor thing again. Ironically, I think that people tend to overwater as opposed to underwater, as long as you're on a schedule and you're kind of keeping an eye on things. And some plants really do kind of like a little bit of benign neglect. You know, the ZZ plant's one of those, the mother-in-law tongue. There's a couple of them out there that if you travel a lot, you don't want to have to, you know, worry about watering them weekly. You can definitely find plants that will work for your lifestyle, as opposed to you having to, you know, I don't know, hire someone to take care of your plants. There's also some really great watering systems out there. I have a friend that has this really great kind of contained watering system for the plant. So take a look for one of those that might suit your needs as well. And then the other thing I want to talk about is you don't always have to buy plants. You can get cuttings. If there's a plant, you know, your friend has a plant that you like, you know, take a look. You might actually be able to get a cutting and to make it sprout roots and grow again. Certain plants, like the spider plant, like they start propagating and making babies all over the place. So a stalk will come out actually, and off of it will come little spider baby plants. The spider plant I have now is actually a cutting from my mom's plant, which I am pretty sure is a cutting from my grandmother's plant. It'd be kind of interesting to see what generation spider plant this is. So you can definitely get cuttings from people and look up the best way to do it. You know, succulents, you can take a leaf and lay it in soil, and then you have to do some other things and it'll sprout again. So there's definitely ways to propagate and make yourself some more plant babies. I think the last thing is, you know, keep your plants happy, because they'll make you happy. So make sure you get on a good watering schedule that works for them. Try not to overwater. Try not to underwater. Don't completely forget they exist. If somebody's not looking happy where they're at, try moving them to another spot. I inherited a rabbit foot's fern, which is actually a relatively high care plant, and I've definitely struggled with it over the years as far as how much to water it. It needs spritzings on its little feet that kind of crawl over the pot. Sounds totally weird, but it's kind of cute. And it likes a lot of light, but it has to be indirect light. In fact, I had it initially in my west-facing window, which gets a lot of light, and the plant was actually growing away from the light, because it was like, woman, get me out of this window. It's too much light. So keep an eye on them. They'll talk to you. They'll tell you what's going on. If you have any questions, ask your nursery people, or definitely Google's been a really great resource for what to do when plants are having a rough time. So I will also post a couple of resources, some of my favorite bloggers that talk about different plants. And you can find that at meanderingdesign.com/podcast and the episode How to Create an Urban Garden. I hope that inspires you. You know, spring is a great time to get some plants growing, because they tend to have a growth spurt in the spring, and some will go dormant in the winter and not grow as much. If you have an outdoor space, you know, definitely, if you don't want to invest in, you know, container gardening and all these other things, but just grab a hanging planter. They're really beautiful and you'll get some flowers, and just remember to water it. That's my problem. If it's out of sight, it's kind of out of mind. And enjoy some plants. The other thing I wanted to say is that I will be taking a 4-week break. So my plan is to do the podcast 6 weeks on, 4 weeks off. That will give me time to get some podcast episodes ready to post. So hopefully next time I won't be behind. I've got some great content already lined up and some interviews and talking about buying and selling houses and how to pick a house. So there's some really great content coming up. If you want to keep in touch, as I said, definitely follow me on my newsletter. I'll send out a message when the podcast is about to go live again, and that's meanderingdesign.com. You scroll down to the bottom, it's right there. Also follow Meandering Design on iTunes, and that way you'll get notified when the podcast goes live again. So I hope you enjoyed this series, and I look forward to talking more about design. Bye.